question was asked
to me a little while ago.
Why is it I can't get past a certain stage in my development? I can understand the subject intellectually, but I don't get the experience to back it up. I'm going to give the reason why the student cannot get past the intellectual stage into the spiritual experience, because there's a basic law there, and that law is sometimes called Satan, Devil, or the Divine Examiner. Examiner. But it's called by the metaphysician or cosmic science, it's the principle of Ram. R-A-M-M. And this particular part is called the primary principle. Like a primary function in a coil. Because it involves a particular force in the mechanism. And the second part is S-L-R. This is called the secondary. R stands for resistance.
Known or unknown?
The basic intrinsic resistance in all structure, by the very art of creation, exists as is. God cannot destroy his devil because he is devil manifest also. You see? He cannot come into manifestation if there is no basic resistance in the manifestation. So how can he destroy what we call devil? How can creation begin without intrinsic resistance? That's why the law of resistance exists, or Ram. It's a principle that any manifestation involves resistance. Fate lux. To break the resistance of darkness, light was necessary. It's already there, basic, part of us, will be us. But this resistance, you will find, does not last. It's a period only. That's why your scriptures say, all things come to pass, but not to stay. That was left out in the writings. All these things will come to pass, but not to stay, because all things are moving in a cosmological time sequence with their intrinsic resistance. Now, resistance lasts only for a period until you recognize it as resistance. If you don't recognize it as resistance, psychological, physical, or spiritual, then it will continue to possess and haunt you, obsess you. But it can't stay too long either, because by the very law of nature it's moving. It's not static. It's in a state of process of moving. So we move from resistance to adjustment or adaptation, where we learn to adapt ourselves. So A stands for adaptation, where we learn to adapt. We're forced to adapt. In spite of ourselves, we do adapt. Now, even adaptation can't last too long. That changes too. And it changes into mutation, which really means change. Mutation or change. So we say we live in a world of change, constant changes. But this is also for only a certain period. And when that change has worked itself out, we have now what is called mold or pattern. except in its primary function as life. The input of the function of life is set. Now we have to have the output function, which is the secondary, the runout. From the mold or pattern, which doesn't last too long either, we come into a period called saturation. We get bored. And as we get bored of what we are molded into, it begins to drag upon us. And that dragging is called a lag. Now this lag or boredom state, non-incentive state, which most of us do fall into.
It's what?
Non-incentive state. The non-incentive state, the state where there is no incentive. Right in this same lag, the period of no incentive is coming to the period of incentive. It's because in here, this incentive does really exist. It exists in lag. Though you feel you have no incentive in that state, there is where incentive really exists. Because we get initiative coming out of it. So we get a new impetus. So out of lag, which is called night of the soul by the sages or saints, we get impetus. A spark. New incentive. New idea. Because it's churning. In the lag period, it's churning in our consciousness. And we have the impetus. And we move out from that, with that new impetus, into recurrence. A new cycle.
I was going to say, is this a cycle that you will find yourself going through at
yes.
different times?
The cycle is based on
different levels, but
it's based on a spiral movement from the zero point or central point of one. The darkness is the back of the blackboard. The white dot represents the central point of light. Moving out by intrinsic resistance, adapting, changing, and moving around gradually until it comes back in line with the central point of one. But you'll notice, it does not do like this. There's a central point of one, moving out, and returning back to central point of one, and repeating itself back over and over like that. But that's not what it's doing. As it moves in line with the central point of one in the first diagram, as shown, the law of recurrence spirals out. Because impetus is responsible for it. So it doesn't connect. Right there it widens out into an arc. And that comes back again to the line of impetus. And reaches out again. And returns back to the line of impetus. So we have spirit. Man is not spirit. He's not body. He's not mind. He is soul. Until he knows he's soul, he cannot free himself from these lines of impetus. He cannot free himself to have experience. From the intellectual concept of his being to the actual experience of his being. You see the reason why the student has a difficulty in experiencing himself. Until he knows that this is going on all the time, he is living in this particular state, then he can accept his consciousness, accept his level of experience in the law, and realize that each phase of the law is based on time, cosmic time, not our chronological time.
Because it could be quicker or dragged out depending on your consciousness.
That is right. It's encapsulated or extended on by consciousness. As I said before, early in the evening, that man is soul and God breathed the breath of life into him. And life, the breath of life is the accelerator. And this is the thing that can encapsulate time or extend out time. And it's in us. Now, the ancient sages say, cosmic consciousness is directly linked to breath mastery or hyperoxygenation. Not the holding in of the breath or holding it out. It is this atomic knowledge of the oxygen in the mechanism and its upward and downward movements which are responsible for this transformation by a hot and cold temperature change. As we go up this hot and cold temperature change in our mechanism, and more scientists will discover this phenomenon, we will see we are repeating all these same phases of the same law.
But so, each time you reach the lag place, you could certainly lose hope if you didn't know that this is a
right.
cyclic thing.
This is a cyclic thing and it's established, therefore God is at rest now. He has created in 6 days, as we say, 6 days cosmological time, and on the seventh day he rests. Rest, he came to recurrence. He left the law here, and from now on we have to move. He cannot judge, condemn, nothing to punish, because Jesus said when he was alive, he does not judge. Now when Jesus went up the mountain to be tempted of the devil, because people think he meant it to be tempted, it was because he was working out every facet of his nature and trying to probe in every facet of his nature, cosmically speaking, where the resistances, the adjustments, the mutations, the molding, the saturation, the lag, and the recurrences were. So he was free. The last test is the test of pride, when he was asked to bow down and worship power. Man does worship power because he reaches out to possess and control humanity all the time. He wants to control society with his thinking. And the greatest challenge to the realized man is this power to possess and dominate by the power of thought. If your power of thought can dominate the universe and hold all men in sway and respect you, you have the greatest control. And this is the challenge of the law of Ram.
And you will be, at some stage, you probably will be.
Yes, you will be subjected to this test. You will be tried by this divine examiner, because this is where you try to compete with the cosmic consciousness, the creative force. Now we are given dominion over the universe, but not ownership of the universe. And to have somebody bow down, it automatically puts you in command of them. And you're, what you say, in possession of them like a slave. Man cannot be slave to another man in no form, because we are all souls. So in his cosmic evolution, he's got to realize that every aspect of his cosmic consciousness must be hammered out. So it takes 40 days, if you're really sincere with yourself, everyone who sat out through the process, in 40 days can hammer it out. Or in 40 years can hammer it out. Kriya Yoga allows you to do it in 40 years naturally. So we say 40 years of Kriya Yoga, you can hammer out your consciousness into cosmic consciousness. In 40 days, you can speed it up. That is like Buddha and Jesus and several other men that speed it up in 40 days. Or you live out 1 million years of births and rebirths to hammer it out in a body that is not subject to disease in any form or other. So we see, until we understand the law of Ram, we cannot experience these laws of soul consciousness as an actual experience. We can only intellectually understand it. we have to live these experiences as souls. Each level we live it, we get a glimpse of our nature and the ability to trigger off this energy or power by the mind. We then realize this is where we're going. Any questions so far?
You mean you have to come back to you hammer that out of me?
Yes, to him that overcome it.
I haven't got 40 years to
do it. I will not send forth a second time. This is what Jesus points out, and he can't help us any more than we can help ourselves.
To
him that overcome it, I will not send forth a second time. The repetition of repeating this principle is there all the time. Now, where does the cosmic man step off of this spiral? That's the question. You understand? Where does he step out of it? How can he free himself from this spiral?
He said he had to go through all that before he could do it.
Yes. He steps out of it by stepping across in a direct route. Right back to the central part of himself, going inwards. Seek ye first the kingdom of God which is within you, and all these things are added unto you. We step right out from the point of impetus, right back into the point of resistance.
Now you're lost.
At this point of impetus, if
the
you retrace yourself back directly, how you got to where you are and your problems, you've stepped out of it.
You mean sort of like the psychological process of bringing the problem up from the subconscious and viewing it in the light of your understanding?
Yes, exactly. So the spiritual man has to go that route. And he can step right out, back into the being. And this is what you call cosmic psychoanalysis. Knowing himself, seeking the kingdom of God within himself. In other words, he has to learn how to build a temple. The temple of God. Building the temple of God is... I'll draw the pattern how he builds the temple of God in himself by stepping out. This is exactly the law he's confronted with. And he has to live this law, but he builds by stepping across. That's why, to him that overcome it will not send forth a second time. He has to overcome the desire patterns. See, the desire patterns are responsible for resistances, adjustments or adaptation, mutation, mold, saturation, lag and recurrence.
Well, there I've got another question. Isn't he rebuilding new desire patterns?
The cosmic man is living in a desireless state. Only at the dictate of cosmic will. He does not live for his own will.
Isn't there a necessity for wanting, or desiring to live under cosmic will?
That is what you call the cosmic desire. That the
creator. What I mean, don't you raise one
no,
desire?
No, the cosmic desire is that the creation follow the creative will, and not that the creation desire to follow creative will. Is that the creation recognizes creative will.
He wants an erasure.
It should recognize creative will taking place in all its activities. Not that it should crave to go back to the creative will and submerge to it and surrender to it. When it does that, it is still lacking. It should come to the understanding right away that the creative will is in it, and the creative will is responsible for it. It should begin to recognize that immediately without having to go on craving for it. You follow what I'm talking about?
No, I'm lost. Maybe I'm being a dumb cop for that, I don't know, but I
know you're not.
You are in a body with unfulfilled desires, and you're exposed to knowledge that the creative will is supposed to guide your life. Therefore, you crave to go back to the creative will to guide your life.
Yes.
Now, until you have overcome spiritual life, you are craving to go back.
Oh, and what you have to have is the realization that you are that.
Right.
Oh, very
you have to realize that your soul, the moment you realize soul, there is
there's no
going back, you see.
You have to cut it already.
Right. Yes, you are soul. You're no longer body, mind, and spirit. So you broke.
You are soul.
You are soul. You broke the chain.
I am.
I am that I am. I, my father, are one. These are all realizations, affirmations of the fact.
Yeah.
Affirmations of the fact you are soul.
But realization of the fact is something else.
Realization of the fact that your soul comes from what? Building it now. Build me a temple that I may dwell in the midst thereof. To build a temple, you gotta go to the basement. And the basement is called attitude. Building the first basement in your life is attitude. Your parents should have the attitude so that their offspring will carry over attitude right away. You see? Now, a master is born with parents who've already got the attitude. You never hear of a master being born with parents without the right attitude. The attitude is there. They cannot build a temple. They couldn't give the offspring any impetus. So they themselves got to build for the offspring. So attitude is established as the basis. Then the next lineup is interest. This cannot die in your life. You cannot let interest die out. So there is no stagnant moment in your life. You see what I mean? Because there is no moment in your soul life where you're going to lose interest. All life becomes interest because all life is soul now in a bigger scale. And from that, you close up the next angle in service. You're forced to render service. With this service, then you close the ceiling. With your next knowledge, astropsychology or astrology, this sets the foundation for time now. Every master has to know time thoroughly because he cannot work outside of time. He works with time, not with clock time. Cosmic time. So he knows astropsychology or astrology, and he builds from there parapsychology or knowledge of the extrasensory nature. He knows this properly because he's going to differentiate between the mystic or the fakirs and the true saint now. So he closes the triangle by meditation, the science of meditation. At the apex he puts the what is called that is called self-realization. And he has built the temple. It turns in any direction, he's cosmically conscious all the time. It makes no difference now where he is. He orbits in self-realization all the time.
Now, in your very first basement of attitude, there are 100,000 attitudes. What do you describe?
First attitude that is established and has to be established is love. And the only real attitude. All attitudes are subdivisions that lead up to love. But love means this. It means evolve. For love is to evolve, to go out, to unfold, to let go. And if you don't have the attitude, then we have to pray for the attitude for unfolding, getting away from being static, getting away from being fixed, getting away from being concrete. This is an attitude, and the only attitude, to build this temple properly. As long as you evolve, your interests will automatically reach out, because everything becomes interest now, everything is love now reaching out. And if you're evolving, which is love, you've got to render service.
Yes.
You see where you're evolving out? You're about to evolve out. You're moving out from love, the basic attitude. You've got to spread your wings out. You've got to reach. And if you spread out, you're going to run into people with their problems. And you have to know, people are only born, you know, at a certain time. Their problems are involved in astral psychology. You have to understand that in your relationship to yourself. And from there, you have to be able to understand the extrasensory nature, because they are going to evolve out too. You have to understand them that way.
That's the higher, the word for Uranus taking place in the higher octave of the lower ones.
Right. But with knowing that, you need something to feed your spiritual life. And you need to know meditation in order to feed the spiritual life. If you don't have the meditation, your spiritual life is empty. It's not activities in the church alone, you know, it's activity in the inner temple. That inner peace, that inner glow, inner joy, and the grace of God descending. Then we have realization. That is, the light opens up, consciousness is there, and peace profound passing through you.
Is that the same
as
prodigal son return?
Prodigal son return, yes. This is actually the prodigal son doing returning back to his father himself. But you see the thing, in the prodigal son story, a great deal has been made of the prodigal son and the sloppy yet and the fatted calf his father gave, but they missed sight on the prodigal son.
What?
They missed sight on the true meaning. The thing that they should have laid emphasis on: my son, my father, right, relationship, the fact that no law, no fear, no rebuke, no fear that daddy will rebuke me, and no fear that the son has been out of it, all these things should drop off at that moment. This is still my flesh and blood, this is my offspring, this is my being, I see myself, I too might have done it, but I was saved it in the past, because my parents were good, I didn't do it, but my child did it. These are the things that gotta come out, that the father's gotta reach out, and the mother's gotta reach out. This is the part that's more important, because there we see the attitude, the very basic attitude is there. It's reaching back. You see? If that attitude is always there, then the child is not afraid, and then we look back at our father, the cosmic father, we know he is loved. And we feel it when we turn to him. If we don't understand, and we still have connections with past ideas that are not applicable right now in our daily life, we still can pray for that love. We can still surrender and become humble enough to feel this love. So, one of the Beatitudes, the attitudes of being, that's what it really means. The Beatitudes, the attitudes of being, meekly wait and murmur not. See?
Meekly what?
Wait and murmur not.
Murmur,
don't complain. Meekly wait, but don't complain. The father should be willing to accept the child coming back. The child will be willing to reach out and accept daddy. For love's sake, not because he's a son, not because he's father, or not the one superior over the other by authority of ages, the fact that there's love still going on. But in man's relationship with God, this love is even greater.
great to get this big idea that God's always punishing everybody.
Well,
that's all I hear on the radio if I turn on.
Quite
God's
true.
Gonna punish you. God's
but God
gonna
does
punish
no man.
God, well, the Old Testament, God's going to do this to everybody's, the enemies of the Israelites. Why?
There was the other son that Israel redeemed, you know, who had this feeling that he was at a disadvantage with this other son that came back and had already spent his part of the, what was it called?
Inheritance.
Yes.
But what does that unsung
and
represent?
And for a long time, I had difficulty in understanding the justice of this other son going out and having spent all his heritage and then came back and still was being accepted by the father.
Well, what did the other say?
If the father accepts his offspring because one is wayward and one is not wayward, the greatest ache in the father's heart or the mother's heart or in the guru's heart for that matter is the one who turns against the love that has been there that shelters it and cook and prepares it to grow and nourish it.
That
ache is greater. Now, that therefore, that love becomes stronger and reaches out. The one, when you have a child, suppose you have a set of pins in your hands. One don't cry and one cries. Which one gets the attention first?
Crying one gets it.
So, Master used to say, we are all naughty children, run away from our cosmic parents, that cry and let them satisfy you with the jub-jub of love. Let them give you the candy of love, divine love. Let them put back your divine love back in your mouth. You see, he says, then we run away. You see? Now, the masters who didn't run away were the angels. Now, if the angels didn't go away from the father, and they're all up there, there's great rejoicing when a wayward human being returns back.
Yeah.
the joy of one repentant soul, listen carefully, the joy of one repentant soul is equal to the joy of a million angels. And your Upanishads will tell you, or your, it's in the Upanishads, that the soul that has realized its cosmic nature is greater than the joy of all the gods and goddesses and all the fairies and everything on the higher hierarchy that never walk away from God or walk away from his cosmic home.
Because
they have lived in this protective aura and know not the trials and hardships
of
one. Right. Right. So the boy who came back, his joy was great to be reinstated. Now the joy of the other one need not be offended because he was always reinstated. He was always there. He never did anything not to be reinstated. So
Jesus illustrates that with the bit about the sheep and the fold and the one that was out.
Right. The problem is this. You can only exert love when there's tragedy in some form or other. More than normal. Normal love, there is no tragedy. There is no pressure, so you love them and you take it for granted. They will obey, they do everything. Let there be friction in some form or other. Then there's tug of war in your feelings. And right away, hate comes in. Indifference comes in, self-centeredness comes in. These are the things that are going to come in first. Never love. You're hoping that they may change. All right, if they change, what do you feel now? Greater love than you ever felt before for the person. Don't you feel a sigh of relief? What is a sigh of relief? A relief from all the different frictions that were going on in you? Oh boy, I wish it turns out perfect now. But this is how the love nature can be. There is no way for it to go on. And this is the reason why we don't get the experience, because we are trapped in that law of Ram. And if we recognize that we are trapped in it, then all we have to do is let each period work itself out. You do so many, you know, so many days will take for resistance, so many days will take to adjust, so many days for change, so many days to mold, so many days for saturation, so many days for lag, you get a new idea, a new impetus, and then recurrence.
But that can be speeded up and eliminated when you begin to build on this other...
Yes, by going back into yourself, seeking the King of God which is within you, you first establish attitude. That's why he said there are only two commandments he gave. And all the sages were given the same two commandments. Love thy neighbor as thyself, and love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, with all thy heart and soul. And it's still love, the first basic attitude that you have to establish. But out of love we evolve. We can't have anything else but that. And we evolve by interests first. There have to be an interest that pulls you into the evolution. And that interest makes you render service. Now, the moment you start rendering service, you're going to run into problems. You're going to feel people are against you, and you've got the tremendous interest, their interest at heart. And you're feeling the love and compassion for man. And you want to render service, but if you don't know how to work with them, you're lost, you're at sea. So you need astropsychology, or astrology, as it is called. You need to know where the time, moments these people exist in relationship to you. Now, when you get past that stage, you begin to understand the parapsychology or the extrasensory nature of man. Then you realize that this doesn't bring the peace in the man. That meditation now is the one avenue which he has to travel up to gain inner peace, inner contentment. And he begins to see his true nature by closing the apex of the temple he's building. So we see the weather vane representing self-realization. He can turn in any angle he wants now. From any angle, north, south, east, or west, he is a free man, free soul. Jivan Mukta. Now we understand why we arrive at Jivan Mukta. Freed soul, freed while living. Don't let the long ways get in our consciousness. Because it's like living our life to die. If we are maturing at 21 years of age, and we're supposed to live 7 cycles of 21 by natural law, we should live 147 years. And this is by a law of natural principles. So if you gear your jam your brains already with different thought waves to die at 60 by insurance policies or statistics or 70 or so forth, you're already locking off your life.
You don't die, you retire.
Alright, you retire. So you're actually gearing your whole consciousness to shut down. You're gearing it to break down. It's not gearing to build up. And you have two forces in the body. One is called anabolic. The build-up rate of the body. And the other one is called catabolic. The breakdown rate of the body. At a certain age, from birth to a certain age, physically speaking, your anabolic rates are working terrifically fast till they get set at 21. Then they start to taper off and start to work slower.
Is that only because of a race thought, though, more than anything else?
Huh?
Is that more because of a race type of thought?
Yes, it's based on a race thought. It's based on a brainwave jamming by society. Strictly that is the cause of it. All the masses could do these things. What is Giri Bala and all these things? What is SRF teaching? It's exactly the same thing that scientists will recognize it too, because they're coming that way.
The masters don't achieve it either.
Yes, they do.
147?
Right now they got masters living that is don't die. They're right in your autobiography. There's a master called Babaji, over 7,000 years old, and you can see him if you want to see him.
Not in this physical body,
yes, he's in this physical body. I'm not making it up, it's there.
I know, but I mean it might be in the natural body, but
No. We have read so many knowledge, but we have lost sight of facts of nature, and we're still caught up in other information. We're trying to point out there are basic scientific laws in this little body that God made that we don't utilize.
I thought they said he died.
Not Babaji.
No, there are dozens of masters who are
three, four, five hundred
years old. Many of them. Would you like to know their names and addresses?
Yeah,
I'll give them to you after the meeting.
They're what you call deathless masters that exist. They are masters who live on.
You mean people talk to them? They see people.
Yes. In fact, he has two American disciples who are very advanced, right from America. Two advanced American disciples live with him most of the time.
Wonderful.
And one of them belongs to your TS organization.
Which?
The TS organization.
What's the TS?
Well, several of us here are members of the Theosophical Society.
Yes.
His American disciple is a member of the TS organization.
That was my first.
I don't even know who you're referring to. Do you, Myrtle?
Who are you?
Babaji is the master that the... who has these two American disciples that are all with him. They leave their body and go to him all the time.
You mean they leave the body in America?
No, they take the body is with him. They have arrived at the stage where they take the body to him and visit with him and come back right to America. They don't just lie down in bed and go. They have this ability to leave their place and go to the Himalayas and come back. By direct it's called teleportation of the body.
Yeah.
They have this ability.
They don't go by plane, they go by teleportation.
Right. There are two Americans in this continent here who has arrived at that stage. One is a member of the Theosophical Society. That is to say that it does exist. They have men who have this ability. The other one is a businessman, but he's retired from business. But he has his estate, and he lives in this body. But he goes.
How does he serve?
Huh?
And what does he do to serve?
To humanity?
Some of these men, especially these two men, they do not involve themselves with groups. They work at night in their own homes where they live, helping people. They materialize themselves at times to different students on the path and reveal themselves to them. This is one of their way of manifesting to the students. They are working to lift up the spiritual light in this continent. That's their duty. That's why they are being helped by these other masters. All the masters have work to do. So rest assured, when you get a dream of some strange odd incident or something, you're being helped, but you may not be ready to see them for that help. So this is why I say learning the law of resistance. The law of resistance is responsible for that blockage. Any questions?
Do they all have hair whiskers? I remember one I've ever seen a picture of, a long flowing whisker. And I see them.
They're too busy to shave.
I see those sometimes, but I don't know who they are.
Why they keep their hair long.
That's their antenna.
No, that is, you're funny thing, in a joke, you're speaking the truth. Actually, it is true.
That's where Samson's, string came up. What is the story of Samson? What does that really illustrate? The strength being in his hair, what does all that mean? You know? Am I getting off the subject? I'm sorry.
Well, I don't
know.
You
see, if you go back to the age,
I know nothing about the Bible,
Samson
so
lived,
I don't understand it.
Remember, Samson lived in a certain age. He lived in the... Thoran age.
Nice.
He lived in the Thoran age, and his devotion to God, by keeping his hair long, he was able to draw in the cosmic energy through the hair into the body. Now, that is a mark of the Nazarene, because most of the Essene people kept their hair long as a symbol of allowing this cosmic energy to flow in. It flows in from the medulla, and the roots of the hair, and the tips of the hair, and all this is electrically charged. Now, when these energies are awakened in the spine, not until that time can a cosmic man do anything. He hasn't got any power. He has to awaken these powers. They're there. But when he moved an object, he wasn't moving it by his physical strength. He was using psychic strength. That's why in the ancient days, the psalms were called psi-alms. They were psychic aids that they were using. They would chant these things and have these things done. These were tremendous parapsychological control they possessed in their life. They control these forces naturally within themselves by concentration and devotion to God.
Then he lost it how? Pretty well on account of Delilah. Didn't that signify something?
This in the physiological sense of the story of Delilah cutting it off, physiologically, the symbol is involved with losing it by grounding the antenna. But in a deeper esoteric meaning, it involves understanding the principles of regeneration of the body. Until we understand the holy body is regenerated, and this is involved in love. You see, we don't understand that principle because it's not a principle that can be experienced in the physical realm. It's just like Adam and Eve. Both of them awaken their life energies, which you call the Kundalini power in themselves, and they stepped out of their frame and saw that they were naked. Not them said they were naked because they had no clothes on. They were free from their physical frame, and they were in an etheric body for the first time, and they saw themselves as cosmic energy. But they did not allow the cosmic energy to come down from the medulla and open the thousand petal lotus, which is a natural way for it to enter man and open it. They started working it from the coccyx up. So man is stuck with this method, working from the coccyx up. That was his downfall. Had he remained in this state here and meditated at the point between the eyebrows and let the energy open from here, he would have been in that state, and he would not have to step out of his body. He would have taken his body along with him. As Jesus showed, the resurrection of the body was the cosmic man. See, man fell by stepping out in the projection, and therefore by stepping out, he automatically lost his ability to make this body cosmic body. Therefore he saw he was naked, he was divested of the power. Instead of keeping his consciousness here and focusing and allowing this Christ intelligence to work in him to stay up there, he now felt that because the energy was going down in the spine, he had to concentrate on the base of the spine to bring the energy back up. By bringing the energy back up from the spine there, he stepped out, and in stepping out he saw the mistake, but it was too late for him. So Jesus came back to show that and thine eyes are single vision, the body is full of life. If you stay right up here, this power now will come down into you, will take care of that body. You see, the original pair, the original man, could not live with the idea that he could not die. You see?
You do not teach then starting in the lower centers, to open up the lower centers first. You start right here. Well, that's where the most...
If you start meditating at the lower center of your basal spine to develop yourself...
Is that what they call old yoga? Old-type yoga? old-type yoga.
Old-type. Keep concentrating on the basal part of your spine. You awaken what is called You see, the energies are two. You have a positive charge and you have a negative charge. The positive charge stays here all the time. So in the Sikh religion, they say we begin here. Therefore, everybody who talks about yoga beginning from the base of the spine are talking nonsense. So one religion is trying to impose something better than the other. They really don't understand anything. So they say, okay, you stay up here and you go up Trikuti into Sachkhand. And you go up the next seven up there. Don't worry the second seven down here because that is lower. The yogis of centuries have said it, man. It's only polarities we're talking about. We have a dual polarity in the seven same basic centers. We have a negative polarity, which is a downward pull, and a positive polarity, which is an upward pull. So if we say to the person who is coming to study, okay, since you don't know what a positive pull is, don't concentrate on the seven negative pulls. Don't concentrate on the chakras from the downward pull. So don't put your mind on the coccyx. Put your mind up here, where the seven negative pulls begin. You see what I mean? So as long as you think they're above your head, they will continue to keep your mind up. But actually it only means a flow in the spinal column. That the energy is positive up and the energy is negative down. Where you center your consciousness down, the energy will move down. When you center your consciousness up, the energy moves up, but it's a flow. Now there is really no up and down in the human body. It's only a point of reference because this is all atomic mass. There's no north, south, and east in the true sense of the word. Because we are floating in space. If you take you and throw you around in a circle, where is north, south, and east of you? If you're standing on your head, you see what I mean? It's only a reference point that they have to use to indicate the positive energy and the negative energy. Now the negative energy is what Adam and Eve, the original pair, did not understand about and put their consciousness down. And therefore they stepped out and saw themselves. They were naked for the first time. They were free for the first time, but in the negative field. And all the time they were living in the positive field. They didn't know they were living in the positive charges, and they stepped up for the first time and they found themselves in negative charges. So right away they could not step back in, because when they stepped back in, it was too late.
Well, isn't that a sort of part of the plan, though, because man wouldn't have had the free will if he had stayed under the angels.
Good. Now you see why. Now you see why the cosmic intelligence had to rest and let man make mistakes by implanting the very first law of resistance or brain jamming. If I say to you, I want you to forget a certain number, and the number is 99.
You should remember
it. You're going to remember it all the time. You see what I mean? I've demonstrated what is called a brain jamming principle, and I've demonstrated the principle that is going to make you go against yourself. Now, thou shalt not eat of the fruit in the midst of the garden. That means thou shalt go that way, because only that way can I observe this process of my creation. How else can I see this thing going? If everything is perfect now, there's nothing there for the creative force to work. See? How this cosmological, the creator is not damning man. No, he's not damning man or soul. He has made soul for a cosmic play. But by setting up the tragedy and setting up the villain first in the process, he has cosmic drama. No villain, no tragedy, no cosmic drama. See, this is a lila.
No consciousness.
Right. Now you're on the ball. This is exactly what was the frost. That is the reason for it all. Now you see how you're free from the thing.
He just made it all right to start with.
You realize where you stand. You see, you are soul.
Yeah, only right here, right now.
Here you have to feel it.
Yeah,
feel it in the heart. While you meditate here, and you start to feel the head like it's shutting off, and the body shutting off, and that sensation of fullness, try to direct that fullness to the heart. And by directing it to the heart, after a while it will go like it's opening up.
Does it come to your head to make it feel full? Because
yes.
You're concentrating up here?
Yes. It does. You feel
I'll tell you what, mine does. I have this
like a pulse.
Pulse.
Right, and that is Now, if you can keep it there and then let it come down to where the heart is, it will stay there and throb. And those who can see the light of the masters in the higher plane, they don't see the light here in them. They see the light here in the heart.
Well, how do I, just how would I go about getting this pulse to come on down to my heart?
Well, the first exercise is that you, that's why the SRF teaches you how to think of various parts of your body.
Yes.
Now think of your thumb, and let your mind rest in the thumb, and then think that your mind is on the wrist, and think your mind is on your elbow. Think of your toes, and try to feel your mind in the toes, and think of your ankles. This gives you a way to shift your mind to various areas.
Yeah.
Now by practicing that, eventually this feeling there will come down and go to the heart, because it has learned to move.
Yeah, I've got it.
Okay, thank you.
I want to ask you one thing.
Yeah.
Would you demonstrate those exercises again? I got home and tried to do them, and I'm not sure that I'm doing them right.
All right.
I didn't know if I relaxed completely between each one of the three stages.
First, you get the stance like if you go to ski. See?
Yeah.
And you just bend the knees slowly. The mind should be at the medulla. Because that's where the energy enters.
Yes.
And you're watching, and your mind is there, feeling. And that's the air out. Then, that's a low breath, low tension. Second breath, medium tension. And complete tension is the complete breath.
A complete relaxation with the third one.
Yes.
But you don't relax between these other two.
No, you don't relax like that. You relax in one shot. You contract in stages.
Yeah, hold it down.
You see, you contract in stages.
Three breaths or one breath?
Three breaths.
It's three breaths.
Inhale first.
Yeah, exhale first.
Exhale, oh.
Bend your knees.
Oh, I see.
Now, you did this one back here.
Right, well, I'm doing the front first. So you're in the same position. Now, it's counter pressure. The elbows are straight out. And the palm, left palm up, right hand up. Then I switch over. And I pull it behind.
Oh,
you
just
the
hold of the palm?
No,
the palm, the same palm, it just reverse position. The hand is on the back, the palm.
You hold your thumb over the
hand? Oh, it's here.
I can't see that
far.
Oh, your palm, just to press it together. I think there's three breaths and then there's three breaths and exhale. Raise your hands.
No, I switch over to the next hand.
Train hand.
No, that's complete. Then I sit down. And I concentrate. This foot goes in, this hand goes out. Now one, together. And this is considered as one movement.
And all of the time, you're keeping your,
right.
your center on the back of the
head. Back of the head. So I repeat the second movement now. That's the second movement. The third movement. That's the third movement, and the body should feel because the energies are...
Just what do you do with that movement? Just bend slightly over?
No,
sideways, I mean?
You're pulling in. You see?
Those are recharging, isn't it?
Pull, recharge.
These
you're
are
pulling
all
your knee in and you're pulling it out with your hands.
You see, your foot goes in and the hand goes backward.
I'd have to concentrate on that at first, but I wouldn't be able to do it.
Push your knee this way and push the hand that way.
My knee doesn't want to do
that. Push against your hand. Push against the hand with the foot. And pull with the hand back.
Oh, I see. I put it on the
inside. Right. Inside and in.
I knew I could do that.
Right.
You always take three breaths, exhale. Exhale first, take three breaths, then exhale.